Today on Real Radio.
If Jesus was our priest and it was connected to an earthly economy, he would have had to have gone into the temple in Jerusalem, into the Holy of Holies, and make an offering for us. He never did that, church.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his topical series called You Need to Know, a collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. We're in a mini-series entitled You Need to Know All About Your Salvation. You know, one possible starting place to understand what it means to, quote, be saved is to learn what it means simply to believe. Now, the world is full of religions that say, yeah, essentially, you do need to believe, but you also need to add this practice or that ritual. They all seem to say that simply believing is just way too easy. It is? Really? Well, that's what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs addresses. It's a lesson called You Need to Know All About Your Salvation.
If I'm walking down the street and I'm calling out to God and I put my faith in Christ, are you watching? And I step off the curb onto an oncoming Metrolink, and that train hits me at 60 miles an hour, and I'm as dead can be. Where do I go? The Bible says I go straight to heaven. Straight to heaven. Some of you are thinking, no, wait, that's too easy. Oh, wait a minute. You weren't even baptized. That's right, wasn't even baptized. I accepted Christ. In fact, how about this? I accept Christ, and now I'm driving to the baptism. And I get hit by that same Metrolink. Where do I go? Angels are not lamenting in heaven. Oh, he was so close. He just didn't get dunked. Oh, what a shame. You are saved. When you put your faith in Christ, you are saved in that very moment of time. The Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. See, our carnality and sometimes some of the doctrines that we've been taught by man, misunderstanding scripture is, yeah, you gave your heart to Christ, but salvation is a process. You're saved in some fashion, but you've got to do all these other things. That's what our friends the Mormons do at our door. They knock on our door asking us to become a Mormon, and they tell us our sins are forgiven the moment we become a Mormon, but for the rest of our lives, we've got to atone for the rest of our sins from that moment on. That is not the Bible. That is not what Jesus did. Ephesians 2 verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even, listen to this, this is love. Would you love me if you knew verse 5 about me, even when we were dead in trespasses? Would you love me if you, you know that sticker, to love me, to know me is to love me? No, the truth is, if we really knew you, we wouldn't love you. God says, I knew you when you were an absolute God-hater, and I still loved you. It doesn't mean you were going to heaven at the time. It means that he loved you. You need to come to Christ. Look at that. Ephesians goes on. Verse 5. But he made us alive together with Christ. Made us alive together. The word is in the present tense. Ladies and gentlemen, don't miss this. Write it down. Never forget this. It means that those who are saved in the present tense at the moment of faith. For by grace you have been saved. Look at verse 8, for by grace you have been saved. He repeats it twice in that portion. Saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, so don't boast about your great faith. It is the gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Isn't that a great word? Oh, I'm saved because I had such great faith. Paul said, don't boast about it. Don't walk around boasting. Yes, Jesus died for my sins, but I, on the other hand, was smart enough to put my faith in him. Watch out. That's not saving faith. You're still trusting in your flesh. It's God's grace. 1 Corinthians 15:50 says, what am I saying? The Amplified Version says, dear brothers and sisters, what am I saying? He says, is that your physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This is good news. It sounds scary for some of you listening to this, but hang on. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. Did you know your body's dying? I know. See, there's mainly older people at first service. And I appreciate that. I've been up since the same time you've been up. Third service is when all the young people come. And when I read this verse in first service, I can feel this collective, yes. Let it die, Lord. Because we know what we're carrying around here after all. These bodies. I used to put cologne on. I still do, but I used to put 2 squirts. And I realized this morning, why? It's a mask to mask my rotting flesh. Truly, Lord, by now he stinketh, and at 57 years of age, I stinketh. What is happening? Death. Look, cheer up. God bless you this morning, but you're dying. We are dying. And the Bible says to the believer, are you a Christian this morning? The Bible says, as your carcass is, for you to be in heaven, you can't drag that thing up there. You stink up the place. You've got to experience a change. Watch what he says. Verse 53, 1 Corinthians 15. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O Hades, or grave, where is your sting? What an awesome statement. Salvation is not only, watch, salvation is not only in the moment you believe in Christ, you're saved, but the ultimate fulfillment of it all is when your body, my body, is ultimately resurrected or transformed at the coming of Christ. That's why people get confused about, well, am I saved or do I have to get saved? If you're saved, you're saved. But listen, there's an aspect of our salvation that we've not physically recognized yet. The Bible never contradicts itself. Are you guys okay? Am I messing you up? The moment you die, watch, the moment you die, you go to be with Jesus instantly. But we've got to deal with your body. We've got to put it in Forest Lawn. We have to have a service. You're not there. People, I understand people come up to the coffin, oh, brother, rest in peace. I get that part. You got to go through that process. He's not there. When the Lord comes, the body will be resurrected out of the dust. God will call it back. Oh, man. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4 that those who have trusted Christ will be reunited in the atmosphere in the resurrection with their glorified body. No stink. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be fantastic. Number 2, gifted by God's grace alone means this, that this salvation from that moment of faith being acted upon now, so we go beyond trusting in Christ, the believer moves on, freed from the dominion and power, listen carefully, of his or her sinful nature, the old sin nature. And that's new now on a daily basis. We live out our personal, watch, practical, positional sanctification. You say, okay, now wait, what? I'm saved. Are you a Christian today? Trust in Christ. You're saved. Now watch. If you are allowed to live 1, 2, 3 days or 1, 2, 3 decades from that moment, I am now living out the fact that I am saved in the world that you and I interact in. I am positionally sanctified. We'll talk about this either today or next week. I'm positionally sanctified in Christ, meaning God has declared me set apart from the world and set aside for him. It's awesome. When does it happen? In an instant that you come to faith in Christ. Wow. Your life begins. When your life begins, because we have not yet experienced the death of this flesh, we enter into a brand new, never before experienced battle. And that battle is, I want to do only what's right to God. And another part of you says, why don't we go around town and get drunk and shoot up the town and you know, I don't know, I'm just making this up right now, but you know, the devil side of you, the bad side, the old Jack. Let's do that. No, let's not do that. Yes, let's do that. You now experience the battle. You're born again. You're brand new. From that moment on, you are now living out a positional yet practical sanctification of a born-again life. Don't raise your hand, but those of you who have come to faith in Christ, let's be honest. Oh, I'll be honest for you. Before I was a Christian, life was easy. I'll be very honest with you. Before I became a Christian, I made a lot of money. It was legal, but I lived for money, so that's what I made. Before I was a Christian, things went really smooth. And then I became a Christian. And a few weeks after I became a Christian, I lost my job. And I'm thinking, is this the way it's supposed to work, God? What is this? And then I lost all my friends. Wait a minute. Wait, what? You're a Christian? Hey, dude, okay, well, we'll talk to you tomorrow. They never called me back. That was the grace of God, by the way. That was a good thing they didn't call me back. You hear what I'm saying? From that moment on, my life, in some ways, became miserable. The world didn't have its appeal to me anymore. And yet my flesh thought it was supposed to be happy there. But my heart's longing for heaven. And I had to reconcile, while I thought if you give your heart to Jesus, people are just going to march in front of you and throw rose petals on the path ahead of you. No, not at all. What was going on? What is going on? This is a positional, practical life of sanctification as a believer now. When does that happen? The moment you're saved. But it's lived out today. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. Hebrews 9, 24 says, "For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands," or human hands, "which are copies of the true," I'll touch on this in a moment, "but into heaven itself, now appearing," present tense, today. Guess where Jesus is today? He's now appearing in the presence of God, that is his Father, for us on our behalf. Someone say amen.
Amen.
What in the world's going on? How was your weekend? How was your morning? So, oh man, I need the grace of God. You got it! Well, how can you be so sure? Because right now, appearing before the throne of God is your advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is requesting heir support from his Father for your life. Grace, Father, Jack needs more grace to get through. He's got two more services to do. More grace for Jack! Do you hear what I'm saying? What do you have in store for today? See, I don't know. Whatever it is, Jesus knows. He's up there and he's saying, Susie needs more grace. He's asking. And you know what's so cool? He said, I don't know if I have the faith. Well, how about this? Just have faith in Jesus Christ that he's up there appearing before the Father, because listen, the Father never tells his Son no. Father, Jack needs grace. You got it. I get to enjoy that based on the intercession of Christ and his perfect merits. Not mine. Not mine. And thank God, the opening part of that verse in Hebrews 9:24 tells us, he never entered some shrine in Timbuktu. He never entered the temple in Jerusalem into the Holy of Holies. Thank God he didn't do that. Did you know that? Think about it. If Jesus was our priest and it was connected to an earthly economy, he would have had to have gone into the temple in Jerusalem, into the Holy of Holies, and make an offering for us. He never did that, church. He never went into an earthly temple. You want to know why? He knew that in 70 AD, that whole structure was going to be torn down by the Roman Empire. And if that structure would have been torn down after Jesus made his offering, your salvation would have been lost forever. The Bible says he entered into the place where human hands have not made. He took, listen, you are so saved as a believer. He took his offering of his own blood into the Holy of Holies in heaven, to the altar that the Father accepts the sacrifice on. Everything else on earth was a model, the Bible says, of that in heaven. And Jesus laid out his offering of blood, and it's there eternally. No moth, no rust, no thief can break in and steal it or corrupt it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. By that will, we have been sanctified, past tense, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ every week, every other hour. When? How? Once and for all. You know, I'm not a Pentecostal person, but I'm getting Pentecostal right now. Jesus suffered once. He made an offering once. It is that powerful for all eternity and time. He did it all. He did it. By that will, you have been sanctified. God looks at you from above. You're done. I mean that in a good way. You're done. Not like, I'm done. No, you're done. It's like, do you go to LA Fitness, anybody? I don't. That's crazy. But anyway, why would I go there and torture myself like that? Because there's people, there's guys. Have you seen these guys walking around there? Their muscles have muscles. And it's like, I want to say to them, you can go home now. You're totally done. Why don't you let, you know, little guys like me come in here, you know? Well, listen, God looks at you and says, you're done. Because he sees you through Christ. He sees you through the Lord Jesus. You're done. Based on what, Lord? You were sanctified by my offering. What do I have to do to be sanctified? You're sanctified. Yeah, but aren't I supposed to go out there and live a good life to honor you and glorify you? Yeah. Well, so I'm going to be sanctified. Well, no, because you are sanctified, now you get to go out into that world and live a new life. Those around you, they don't know that you're sanctified, past tense. They're going to see that you're sanctified as you live your life in front of them. Yes. Did you get that? It's so simple, even I got it. It's so simple. Hebrews 10:14 does not contradict Hebrews 10:10. It only adds to it. Hebrews 10:14 says, for by one offering he has perfected. This is an awesome word. Teleo. Those of you who are involved in information sciences, there's something called teleonometry or teleonomic. Teleo comes from this word. Listen to this. For by one offering he teleoed. Say, what is that? Just hang on. Forever those who are being sanctified. Pastor, am I sanctified or not? You just said I was, and now that verse says I'm being sanctified. Number one, I said you are sanctified instantly in the presence of God. Done. But when you and I live with each other in fellowship and service one to another, I get to see that you, in fact, are a Christian. And you get to see that I, in fact, am a Christian. How's that lived out? By personal sanctification in this world. I don't get sanctified by what I do. Because I am sanctified, you get to watch me and see that I'm sanctified. It's that simple. Now the word teleo. This is remarkable. Look at that verse, you guys, because like in information sciences or banking for that matter. How about this? Banking. Good. This is a good picture. Banking. There's an account, let's say, that's got $2 in it. There's an account over here with $1 million in it. They're both completely not related to one another at all. But somebody down at the bank transfers $1 million from this account, teleonomically transfers it, sends the telemetry of information from this one over to this one, and now there's $1,002,000 in that account. Did you hear that? That's exactly what God did for me. I was completely bankrupt. And Jesus dies on the cross, and God, by the merits of Christ, transfers Jesus' wealth, Jesus' righteousness, Jesus' perfection. God says, let me see, account number 777, 888. Transferred to account 0000. Transaction, boop, complete. When Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, listen, Jesus died for our sins on the cross, and when he rose from the dead, he enacted what he paid for. The moment that happened, the account received the deposit. Now, listen. What did you have to do with that? How much money did you have to transfer? What did you do to earn that? It's a gift. It's a gift. Thirdly, under this argument is at the moment of you and I rupturing or rapturing, if we drop dead or we get called up by the trumpet blast, the moment you and I enter eternity, your faith, listen to this, the Bible says your faith will no longer be necessary. You think of that? You ever think of that? The only thing that's going to be operational according to the Bible in 1 Corinthians 13 is what? Love lasts forever. You're not going to be in heaven needing faith. Gosh, I know I see Jesus standing right there and I can talk to him at any time, but I need to believe in Jesus. No, you don't. Talk to him. You're there. Isn't that going to be great? No one's going to be walking around, I need more faith. Dude, you're in the wrong place if that's what you're talking about. In heaven, you won't need faith. It'll be done. The faith, remember, is that vehicle that transports you to the presence of God. When you and I inherit the presence of God in all eternal reality, no need for faith. Why? Because it will be swallowed up in reality. That is going to be an amazing, awesome moment. And so mark this, if you would. Romans 5:9 says, Romans 5:9, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. That's what we can look forward to through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, that means Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world, the death of his son, much more, listen to this, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Church, are you guys all okay? You all right? Can you look at that verse very carefully? Very carefully. If someone's sleeping next to you, wake them up. They got to get this verse and then they can go back to sleep, but they got to get this one. Much more than having now been justified. Are you tracking with me? Done deal. You have an orange sweater on. You don't have to think about getting an orange sweater or putting an orange sweater on. You're wearing it. You got that? You have been justified because you have that orange sweater on. Watch. It's done. People, watch. It's done. It's all there in the past tense. How? By his blood. This is Levitical terms. This is Old Testament talk. By his blood, Jesus Christ alone presented this as an offering for me. What was the result? I've been justified. I know I'm going to hear the answer, and it's perfectly accurate. It's not a silly response. What does justified mean? Say it louder, Peggy. She's exactly correct. Justified means justified, never sinned.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About Your Salvation. It's really a series within a series taken from Pastor Jack's collection of studies called You Need to Know. And we'll continue with more of You Need to Know All About Your Salvation on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, one of the more, shall we say, awkward moments when sharing our faith is simply getting that conversation started. You know, just breaking the ice, wouldn't you agree? Well, here's one way. Tell a friend about Real Radio and Real Life with Jack Hibbs. If you have the Real Life smartphone app, maybe you can show it to your friend. And if you don't have it, remember, it's a free download. Just go to your app store and look for the Real Life app. If your friend's already a believer, simply direct them to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. So again, maybe in the next few days, tell a friend about Real Radio and Real Life with Jack Hibbs. And maybe even direct them to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.